Welcome to Deeper Walks on the Trail podcast. You are on the trail with father-daughter duo Marcus and Stephanie Warner. I'm Stephanie, and I'll be talking with my father, Dr. Marcus Warner, as we discuss topics that help you stay on the trail to a deeper walk with God.
Episode 33, we're continuing our resilience series with a look at the ABCs of bounce, connecting with people. And while we're on that topic of connecting with people, I just want to thank those of you who share the podcast with others and to encourage you, if you haven't already, to like this episode, subscribe to the podcast at whatever platform you like to use, and this will prompt the algorithms to connect us with more people. So thank you. And hello, Father.
Hello, daughter. I could tell you really wanted to quote Pride and Prejudice there, didn't you? And that will throw you in the path of other.
You know, surprisingly, it wasn't even on my mind, but I really appreciate that your mind went there. And it was probably just like embedded there, like in my subconscious. Yeah.
Anyway, I thought that was funny.
And that will throw you into the path of other rich men.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Oh, I love Pride and Prejudice. All right. So, we just came off of a wonderful conference.
We did. It was a lot of fun to connect with John Eldridge and to hear what he had to share and to be able to interact with him a little bit. It was a good weekend.
Oh, it was so much fun. And I have to say, it just made my heart happy how many times throughout the weekend he specifically named the staff that he was interacting with. You know, he's like, oh, yes, Nick and Emily and Dwayne. And yep. I was just, yeah.
Yeah, no, we had a great team, and it was really a fun event. But one of the behind-the-scenes things, though, that people don't know is I actually had a fever the night before and woke up sick that morning and called for prayer and had several people praying over me, and the fever dissipated, and I was fine by the evening. It never came back, and I felt completely healthy on Saturday. So just one of those things you wouldn't necessarily – no, but I remember being a little bit nervous, like, I hope I'm going to be able to get through this, and God took care of it, so.
Praise the Lord. And I mean, I think that also works really well with the whole connecting with people topic, because you connected with people on, I mean, there were, I think, prayer, you know, like a prayer email went out to a prayer team, and people got on Zoom with you and prayed. I know here in Kentucky, there were a group of us who prayed for you, and it was good. And that was the other thing with people, is I got to be with a really wonderful group of people live and in person and do a little watch party of the conference, and highly recommend.
Yeah, watch parties are good, right?
Yes.
It's the way to go.
Good to do it with people. So, the ABCs of building bounce. Let's dig into the C. We're going to break this up. So there's connecting with people and connecting with God. And so this episode, we're going to look at connecting with people. So why don't we start with the importance of belonging?
Yeah, so belonging is a word I think we're all familiar with. But when I first came across Life Model Works, Jim Wilder's teaching on this, it took on a new significance for me. And it was this idea that belonging has to do with knowing who your people are. And maybe you've had the experience, you know, I'm talking to listeners now, being at a church and feeling like you're on the outside, knocking on the door, trying to get in. It's like, not that you couldn't get in the building, but you didn't feel like you really belonged, like people were really letting you into the circle. And I think a lot of us know that feels like to be on the outside trying to get in. And so belonging is this idea that I know I'm in, and I know that, and because I know I'm in, I know that these are my people. That's significant, because when I know who my people are, then I know who I am. It from my brain perspective, it anchors my identity, and it lets me know that not only these are my people, but this is how it's like us to live. So all that's included in the idea of belonging. Yeah. There's more too, but
oh yes, well, and we actually dug into identity and belonging in two different episodes. Back in, was it on our fish series?
Yes, somewhere, fish. Somewhere when we talked about identity as the eye of fish.
Well, that
yes.
Makes sense. yes. So okay, so that's the identity side of belonging. How about some building bounce side of belonging?
Yeah. So part of what happens with belonging is that. My co-author in Building Bounce, Stephanie Hinman, likes to talk about being safe, secure, and connected. And when I feel safe, secure, and connected, I'm not as easily overwhelmed as when I am all alone with my emotions. So the more isolated I am and the more alone that I feel in dealing with things, the more overwhelming those emotions are. So you may have had the experience of being in a big group and actually feeling more alone in the big group than you would on your own, because you're with all these people and they just don't get it, right? Because you don't feel seen and heard. So that's the opposite. You know, when I don't have belonging, it actually can escalate the trauma that I'm in. And so the other side of that is what Dr. Wilder calls being with somebody with a bigger brain. And this goes back to the idea of infants who will sync with their mom or their dad or their big sister, right? Who is like, they feel like freaking out, but there's somebody with a bigger brain there who isn't freaking out by what's going on. And so they're able to kind of borrow that calmness from them.
Yeah, well, and it reminds me of, you know, we talked about when I used to be afraid of storms, and we talked about that, I think in, did we talk about that in the beliefs or?
Probably. I don't remember that specific one.
It touches on many things, but me being afraid of the storms and Newgate, you know, there was attachment and joy building there. But I went to you and mom, and that was, you were my bigger brain in that situation. You could handle it. And yeah.
Exactly. So one of the things that belonging does is it puts us around people who maybe can handle things that we can't handle. And as a result, there's a little more peace that comes from knowing I'm going to be okay. Just like a child who, when they're with their parents and the parents aren't freaked out by what's going on, they're kind of like, okay, I guess I'm going to be okay because mom and dad are okay. You take that to a spiritual level, and that's kind of what our connection with God is meant to provide, is that we always have access to this bigger brain, right? Who is never overwhelmed, never worried, and is always like happy to be with us in the middle of whatever we're going through.
Hallelujah. So in the conference this weekend, and in your book, Building Bounce, you talk about two principles, vulnerability and empathy. Let's talk about both of those, but vulnerability, what is it? What is it not?
So when we talk about vulnerability, I always think of like turtles, you know, sticking their heads out or pulling them back in. And this idea that when I stick my head out, I'm literally making myself vulnerable. And that is, I'm putting myself out there. And so there are levels of vulnerability, and that is, there's the level of vulnerability where I just let people know that I am struggling, or I just let people know that I'm feeling sad today, or I'm feeling angry today, or I have some kind of an emotional struggle. That's one level. The next level is where they get the background behind why I'm that way and what's going on. Then the third level is where we get to the really root issues, and we're dealing with, you know, just all of the junk. And so what you find is that that if I am going to form belonging with people and form a safe, secure attachment with people, vulnerability is the only way to get there. As the problem is that not everybody meets that vulnerability with empathy, which is what we're after.
So what are some strategies for determining if you can be vulnerable with someone?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I do tend to think of this in terms of the three levels. And I think of it sometimes like a lot of small groups and churches will go to level one. And that is, I could admit when I'm having a struggle here or there, but I don't go into a lot of depth about just how bad it gets. And then you've had what we would call the journey group level of where I am on a journey with other people and I can share and they see and we can be really honest about, you know, how bad this sometimes gets. And then there's what I call recovery group level, where I'm just laying it all out on the table and letting the chips fall where they will. So one of the things that determines how deep you go with people is the maturity of the people that you're sharing with and the trustworthy of the people that you're sharing with. So for example, some people don't have the maturity to deal with my deep stuff. And you can tell they don't have the maturity to deal with it because they shut it down quickly, or they try to fix it really fast, or they go gossip about it to other people, right? So like, I'm not going to share with that. And we see this modeled actually by Jesus himself. You know, Jesus was, it says in the end of John 2, that many people were putting their trust in Jesus, but he wasn't putting his trust in them, right? Because, and it has this interesting line, it says, because he knew what was in a man. And then right after that, it says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus who came, which was, you know, setting up the idea that Jesus knew what his issues were, where he needed to go with him. But at another level, it shows us that Jesus was not somebody who just dumped everything out there for everybody. He was very careful about who he shared his true identity with. He was very careful whether he shared that with other people. And I think that he models that for us, that we don't have to just wear all of our emotions on our sleeves, that some of us actually drive people away by being too vulnerable in too many settings and people who aren't ready to go there.
Well, and yeah. And Jesus is a good model of not only he wasn't wearing a mask when he was withholding. You know, it's
right.
You know, sometimes there's a, oh, I'm just being me, or I'm just, you know, you can't deal with how big I am or whatever, or even on the reversal, if people are not being vulnerable enough, but I don't know, we could address that. But there's, you still are you, even if you're not wearing everything on your sleeve. You
right.
know?
And part of the idea here is that there are two ditches you can fall into here, right? You can fall into the ditch of being too vulnerable with people who can't handle it, and the ditch of never being vulnerable with anybody and not being vulnerable even with people you could trust. And so this is all part of it. The reality. So we started with this idea of belonging. How do you create belonging? How do you create safe, secure attachment? And that is, if I wear a mask and you're actually attracted to that mask and you like who I am when I'm wearing the mask, we're not actually making a connection, right? You're connecting to the mask. And after a while, I'm going to wonder if you would really like me if you really knew me. And so that doesn't work. Or at some level, it does work because a lot of times people are attracted to the mask, but it doesn't form connection or deep attachment. So that's why you have to have vulnerability in order for connection to form. And then if that is met with empathy, that's when connections grow deeper, where people are like, okay, you're not overwhelming me with this. I'm okay. I can stay relationally engaged with you while you go there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, all the thoughts, but let's dig into empathy more now. Like what is empathy? What is it not?
Yeah. So empathy is the ability to stay relationally present and see people without having to fix them, without having to do anything else. It's just seeing and acknowledging that this is what is going on and being okay with being with you while you're there. So one of the things that people need is that a lot of times in their lives, let's say you're struggling with despair, people will cut you off from going to the depth of your despair and try to fix you fast. So they want to inject hope as soon as possible to keep you from getting too low. But a lot of times what they really need is somebody who is willing to go to that deep, dark place with them and still be happy to be there and just be there. Mm-hmm. So they
well, and understand how deep and dark it is.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is all part of that. And so empathy is the idea. It's what we would call in rare leadership, being gentle with weakness. And so the idea is that I'm not trying to fix your weakness. I'm not trying to stop your weakness. I'm not trying to shame your weakness. I'm just trying to be gentle with it.
Can we talk about boundaries?
Boundaries? Sure.
I'm just thinking, you know, I've even had conversations with people in the last week or so of, you know, who struggle with, you know, maybe they're constantly giving empathy with people who are being vulnerable with them, or they're, you know, there's sometimes people helpers can fall into an almost savior complex of, you know, they need me, you know, how can I help? Or, I don't
it's
know.
It's a
if
very
that,
real thing. Yeah. No, it creates, what we often call compassion fatigue. Mm-hmm. And that is, I'm just worn out from constantly having to be there for this person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not the same thing as being an empathetic person.
Right.
This has to do with, so the best way I heard boundaries explained to me was the purpose of a boundary is to make sure that you know that I'm going to be happy to see you when we're together.
Yes.
Right. So let's just say as a pastoral counselor, you just start with the obvious. Like if I'm going to the bathroom, I'm not going to be really happy if you show up and want to talk to me about your problems. There's a boundary there. Like if I'm in bed, you know, with my wife, I'm not going to be real happy if you walk in the room and want to start talk. There are obvious boundaries that are there. So what we're doing is we're just extending that out and saying that these boundaries exist partly so that you can be confident that when it's your time, I am all there for you. And this is, you can count on the fact that I'm going to be happy to see you. So that's one of the reasons. When we don't do that, it's out of fear that we're going to lose the whole relationship, right? And so that the opposite of the boundaries is codependence.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's so important to keep our eyes on Jesus and to recognize, just like you always say, there's only one wonderful counselor and it's not me, right? And so at the end of the day, you know, we are called to walk alongside people and to help people, but we are not their saviors. We are not their, you know, the person who is going to just fix it if we show them enough empathy, if enough compassion, enough whatever.
No, and it's like I've known people like this too, and I've struggled with it a bit in my own life. I say a bit facetiously. I've struggled with it a lot in my own life. You know, one of the problems I had when I was a pastor was, you know, people would call and want to talk in the evening, and I would lose family time because I didn't put up a boundary and reschedule for it. And I felt like it was my job to stay on the phone with them until they felt completely better. And, you know, I was actually damaging other people in order to help them. And in the end, I was just creating a codependent situation where I couldn't be okay until they were okay, and they couldn't be okay without me. And in the long run, that was not a good scenario. So when we talk about empathy, boundaries and empathy are perfectly compatible, because now I'm saying, look, at the times when I can be there, like if it's a true emergency, that's one thing. But what people define as emergency in most cases is I can't handle the emotions I'm feeling right now. This is an emergency. Well, that isn't technically an emergency. So we can wait and talk about that that later. So it's a good thing to bring up, because those things are not incompatible. In fact, the reason for boundaries is to make sure that I can be fully empathetic when I need to be.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking a lot. Maybe we should address like one-on-one connection versus, you know, group connection.
Yep. No, you're right. So we are talking about primarily the individual connection in group settings. One of the things that we do, because I remember talking to Amy Brown about this, and she was trying to help me understand how they measure certain things. So for example, in journey groups, for those who don't know Amy Brown, she was the creator of the journey group curriculum the Deeper Walk promotes and that we published. And the in these journey groups, they had two extremes that we were trying to avoid. One is people not talking and not sharing and not being vulnerable about their emotions. The other extreme was, for instance, in a mixed group, guys coming in and talking about their porn addiction with women who had sexual trauma in their past, right? That's not a good combination. So you got, how do we make this a safe place for everybody to talk about their emotions without getting so into it that we're traumatizing everybody left and right? And so that's part of it, is it takes some leadership in a group setting to kind of pave the way for this is how deep we want to go. And if you need to go deeper than this, then there is a place for that, but not right here. We'll deal with that in another place in another setting.
Mm-hmm. Too many things to talk about, not enough time. Let's talk about the three levels of connection or the three up, three down.
Okay.
When you're in a group setting and you're building connections with people, what are some good strategies?
So let me start with the idea behind this strategy of three up and three down is that most people who are really struggling with resilience and bouncing back from things are also struggling with isolation. Those things routinely go together. And so part of this is, how do you help somebody who is living in isolation, who has maybe not had good relational skills modeled to them, doesn't have a clear image in their mind of how they create belonging in new situations? What do they do? So one of the, again, I'm going to refer to Jim Wilder on this because I learned it from him. He said that he would encourage people to do a couple of things. One of them is a three up, three down strategy. And that is that no matter how low you are, right, how broken you may be and feel, there is always something that you have of value to offer. And it might just be a smile. It might just be a word of encouragement. It might just something. But the idea is to have three people downstream, in the sense of three people you're feeding into. Doesn't mean you have to be mentoring them and sharing them life-changing insights about, you know, anything, just that you are an encouraging, joyful presence in their life. And the same way, we need three people upstream from us. And that is people who are having a positive input into our lives. Again, they don't have to be in-depth mentors, just somebody who's having a positive role and input into our lives. So where do you even find these people is the next thing that was out there. And that is to start looking at this as a daily, weekly, monthly categories and say, who do I see every day anyway? And how can I inject a little joy into that relationship? How can I bring them a smile? Right. Who do I see every week that if I gave it a little thought, I could think of a way to brighten their day and add joy to their lives. Who do I see every month? And by thinking through those categories, most of us do see people, and we just haven't thought in terms of trying to develop a level one connection. Because sometimes we're so desperate for a level twos and level three connections that we ignore the level one connections that are available, and understand that that can that in and of itself is helpful. Like if we have enough of those level one connections, that does help us with our capacity. It does help us with our bounce, and then eventually we got to, you know, find somebody who can go to level two and three with us.
Well, seeds start small. So it's very rare that two people meet and they just have an instant connection and they're just instantly best friends. And, you know, sometimes that happens. But on the whole, you know, insta-love is a trope. It's hated on for a reason. Okay, I'm crossing.
Crossing over your novel writing side of you, yes.
But that the... Yeah. So I also, when you talk about the three level or three up, three down, I think of it in terms of three levels because I tend to think in terms of peers as well, but also peers can be up and down from you depending on your skill sets. So,
yeah. And they definitely can. And so you think about it when we have the most resilience, it's when we are in a group that we're happy to be a part of. With people who we feel like we know them and they know us. And that gives us a sense that we're never in anything alone. And that does, it's a huge part of resilience and capacity is this ability. And that's why we made connection such a big part of resilience. And again, we could do a whole course on this, right? And so, you know, one short podcast is enough to do it justice.
We try to cram a lot in here, but there's a lot. So yes. So how can we be intentional about connecting with people in life-giving sustainable ways beyond the beyond the smiling?
Well, honestly, this is where cake comes in. That acrostic cake from the book is be curious, show appreciation, be kind, make eye contact. I don't know if you've ever like just going to a coffee shop, right? It's amazing how many people won't look you in the eye when they're taking your order, and then the people who do. And then if I show a little curiosity, right, and I try to be curious about neutral things, you know, you got to be careful what you're curious about. But I'll be curious about tattoos, or I'll be curious about a new nail job, or I'll be curious about something like that. And it's amazing how they'll light up, like somebody noticed, somebody's, you know, and so you're looking for ways to be kind, to make eye contact. And just passing on that little bit of joy, sometimes just in that little 30-second interaction. I remember on Valentine Day, not too long ago, I went to pick up food from a restaurant, and clearly people were overwhelmed. And this young lady was there with stacks of to-go orders next to her, and it was a high-end restaurant. But people were just mean to her all night long because of this or because of that, and so. Had a chance to be a little curious, like, so curious how your night's been. He said, you know, I imagine it's not all been easy. And she just went on. That was all she needed. And she told me about five stories. And by the time my food was ready and we were to go, she was like thanking me profusely, saying her whole night had turned around, right? And all I did was I was curious and kind and made eye contact and saw her. And it took 5 minutes. And her whole evening was turned around. And I left, and here I am like a year later, and I still remember it because it brought me joy to bring her joy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and I would just add on to that, kind of where my brain was, is that I know, myself included, a lot of people who sometimes, especially in a new environment, will say, there's no community here, or, you know, it's hard to build community, and we're not going to where the community is, right? So if you're not going to where the people are, or inviting people over, or, you know, or doing something to actually have the community, it's a common sense thing. But, you know, sometimes we need to remember that dose of common sense of like, yes, you know, go to that game night, or go to chapel, or go to...
You actually have to put yourself in an environment where there are people sometimes. Right. Yeah. Then that is true. And, for some people, that's just really scary because they've gotten burned in situations like that before. But there is an element of and the other part that goes with this is a lot of us are looking for someone to provide belonging for us. Mm-hmm. And where we're trying to put the focus here is that the ability to develop belonging wherever I go is actually a skill set that we can learn.
Yes.
It's like there are some people, they don't worry about moving to a new city. They don't worry about taking a new job because they know they have the skill set to make friends. They know they can connect with people. And they know how to build belonging. There's others who go places and wait and wait and wait and wait for somebody to build belonging for them. And so we have to start where we are, but the goal is to learn some of those skills that go into how do I start establishing and creating community. That's why we teach CAKE. It's why we teach the three up, three down. It's why we teach the idea of being intentional about these things, spreading joy wherever we go, trying to make people's problems smaller. There is a whole lot of skill sets that go into this that we can use to begin learning how to grow belonging, even if somebody isn't inviting us into it.
Very good. I'm so glad you came back around to that. That's so important. Hey, next week, we are going to continue our conversation about connecting with people with an in-depth look at the tool VCR. but for now, any final thoughts on the episode?
Well, you know, I think back to times when I've really struggled. And I think at times when I was really dealing with anxiety and how helpful it was at times just to be in the same room with somebody else. Right. And you think about that and you extrapolate that out, that we can borrow the resilience of other people sometimes just by being in the presence of somebody who isn't stressed out. And if I can get my relational circuits on and connect with them relationally so I can get into the higher levels of my brain, that can help me bounce back. Right. Because part of what we're talking about is I don't want to get stuck in the non-relational part of my brain. I got to bounce back. I got to return to joy by getting back to those higher level functions. So sometimes just being curious with other people, being relational with other people can actually help me with my own emotional state because it's getting me back into that part of my brain.
Very good. Thank you so much. And thank you all for joining us on the trail today. Deeper Walk International is a nonprofit organization, and we partner with people like you in order to do what we do. Some are on the trail with us as official trailblazers who commit to donating $25 or more per month. Because of our trailblazers, we are able to provide free or discounted resources like this free podcast or our video streaming service, The Learning Library Basic. Also, like the free January conference where John Eldridge from Wild at Heart just joined DAD to speak about emotional resilience. If you missed it, you can catch the recordings at our website. So, as we close out today, we invite you to consider becoming a trailblazer. You can do this very simply by visiting our website, deeperwalkinternational.org/trailblazers. If you want to keep going deeper with us on your walk with God, please subscribe to the Deeper Walk on the Trail podcast and share with your friends. Thanks again. We'll see you back next week.